me are Chief Judge Cleary and Judge Stauber. We have four matters on the oral calendar this morning, the first of which is State versus McGinnis. Looks like counsel are here and ready to proceed. Each of you will have 15 minutes for your principal argument. Appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if the appellant wishes to use that time. As you approach the podium, make sure you state your name so that we've got that for the recording. The height of the podium is adjustable, and there's a little toggle switch down there somewhere. I've never actually done it, but there is one. And you can adjust the height of that to suit your comfort. With that, is it Mr. Durkin?
It is, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors, court staff, counsel, and any individuals in the gallery. My name is Rory Patrick Durkin, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Jesse McGinnis. First off, I would like to apologize for my tardiness. The weather was difficult, and I appreciate you allowing me to continue.
Well, I just hope that's the worst thing that happens to me today, because if it is, then this is going to be a good day. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your indulgence. I think my brief is pretty good, and it speaks to the issues, and I don't want to take too much time. But I do want to state that, without question, the way that the statute is written gives prosecutorial authority basically two bites at the apple. And for that reason, this particular statute is unconstitutional, overly vague, overbroad, and just simply put, does not define the window appropriately. And when I say window, I'm talking about the 10-year look-back period.
Well, isn't that's really the issue here,
yep.
Is you can the 10-year period starts either from a conviction or from an implied consent incident, right?
Correct.
And the date is different depending on which of those you select.
Exactly.
And it's your contention that the legislature unconstitutionally allowed two different windows of time.
Correct, giving the prosecutorial authority the choice at which one to use. So, for example, in my case, Mr. McGinnis's case, he had his implied consent revocation 7 days after his offense date,
right,
which is
common. Right, because that's the administrative process that goes pretty fast.
Exactly. Yet his conviction was not for close to a year, even after a year. So now we have, and I think the brief puts it pretty well, where you have an 8-year possibility, a 10-year possibility, and a 12-year possibility. And what I find striking is, and I mentioned it in a footnote because I figured I would talk about it at oral argument, is all those source code cases, and I don't know if you remember.
Oh, we remember.
Yeah, there are several thousand cases out there that were told or continued for some, I'm thinking close to 5-6 years. So now you have, once the source code litigation was finally resolved, and I'm going to interrupt myself, and also some of the criminal cases were put on hold, but also some of the driver's license revocation cases were put on hold as well. And then they were basically stayed. So then you could have a driver's license revocation that would even occur after the conviction, because the way that it works is, I'll just give you Hennepin County as an example. I get a DWI, my driver's license is revoked, and then the criminal case is instituted. Because Hennepin County can't deal with all the implied consent cases, they temporarily reinstate you. So you get a temporary reinstatement. That temporary reinstatement basically does away with that initial driver's license revocation, so it doesn't count anymore. So now the driver's license revocation doesn't kick in until after the conviction. So you have a source code case, 5, 6 years, you have your conviction, and then 6 months later, 3 months later, then you have your driver's license revocation. So now you could have a 10-year, so now you could have a 15 or 16-year potential for a window, and it's simply put, it just is overbroad and vague, and you could go and explain what we're discussing right now to the common man or woman, so to speak, and they don't understand it. I mean, and that's, I think, one of the touchstones of what constitutes a valid statute. Does an individual have a basic understanding of the law and the way that it's written? We don't understand it, and it gives the prosecutor two bites at the apple.
Counsel, I understand that you don't like it, but I have a hard time understanding how this falls under Colander in terms of not being able to understand the issue. Now, I understand your argument that it can be played with a bit by a prosecutor, but it's pretty clear, is it not, in notice in terms of one or the other? I mean, really, Colander and the whole idea of vagueness is are you on notice? And to me, the notice is clear. The issue is whether or not there are other due process problems with it, given that the prosecutor could change the conviction date by stalling the case. Well, but before I get to that, State versus Miller, what's the impact of that, our precedent on this case?
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Well, it certainly takes away real entity, doesn't it? Because it says it's not ambiguous at all and suggests that, at least in 2004 when that case was decided, that that panel didn't have a lot of problem with this.
But it is ambiguous. This law and this look-back period is ambiguous. Take my client, Mr. McGinnis. He's an educated, well-spoken, intelligent man. And when it was explained to him that he was looking at a felony because of the 10-year window, he said, well, wait a minute. No, my DWI was 11-plus years ago. And I said, no.
But neither of the measuring points are the date of the incident.
That is correct.
That's not confusing at all. Well, we all know that.
Well, you and I know that.
Well, anyone who reads the statute knows that.
I respectfully beg to differ, and I would say not anyone, because you have three. We're talking about three dates. We are arguing about two, but technically there's three dates, and many states use the offense date. And in fact,
legislature could have used that date for sure.
And what's unfortunate about this particular case, and if you look into my brief, one of my law clerks' relatives was on. Relatives was on the legislative committee. Unfortunately, those cassettes were out being digitized, and I don't know if they're even back yet, because we went and checked during this briefing process as well, because I was going to amend my brief and hopefully find exactly what the legislative intent was, but they were out being, like I said, digitized. It's unfortunate. But clearly, even the legislative intent was to pick one date, or at least there was a significant discussion, and several other states have looked at this problem and issue and have come to the conclusion that there were problems with the two selection look back period and changed it to either offense date or conviction date. The problem is we have this driver's license revocation date, which kind of pops in and can be played with or manipulated and not even intentionally, but for purposes of temporary reinstatement, can change the date. And clearly, the legislative intent was not to give the prosecutorial authority 15 years to go after an individual with a DWI. Now, I'm not standing here telling your honors that every prosecutor or most prosecutors are monsters trying to, you know, convict individuals and do anything that they can to obtain a conviction. But I will beg your honors to perhaps watch an episode of John Oliver on prosecutorial authority and how much authority prosecutors have in this country. It's pretty incredible and striking. And clearly, sometimes a statute written in this way can impact an individual unfairly and given overzealous prosecutorial authority, two bites at the apple. And two bites in this case just simply is unconstitutional and simply isn't fair. And I don't think that the rule of lenity has been done away with by virtue of Miller. I mean, clearly, the statute, the way that it's written, is unconstitutional. It is overbroad. It is vague. It gives the prosecutor two bites at the apple. I keep saying that. I'm stuck on that. I don't know why. And the legislative intent has always been The legislature, in writing these DWI statutes, have always had a firm window. 2 in 5, 3 in 10. Those 10-year and 5-year windows are exactly that, 10-year and 5-year windows. The way that the statute is written right now, it gives and allows for that 10-year window to be turned into a 16-year window.
So are you indicating that we should say that the statute's unconstitutional? Is that what you're saying?
I am.
Okay.
And by and I'm sorry, was that your question? Am I saying that the statute, the way that it's written, is unconstitutional?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's overbroad and it's vague. And what's going to happen is, unfortunately, in the way that the DWIs occur, there's probably a fair likelihood that some of these source code cases are going to come back as a second or a time or a third time DWI. And that window now is potentially a 15 or a 16-year window. Are we going to say that that's fair? It's not fair. And for all of those reasons, I would respectfully request that you find Mr. McGinnis's prior offense ineligible for purposes of enhancing his.
So you indicating that it should be offense to offense date?
Well,
or conviction to conviction date?
It should be conviction to conviction, driver's license revocation to driver's license revocation, or offense date to offense date. I think what makes sense is what most of these other states have done and gone conviction to conviction. I mean, I think that makes sense. I think that's what makes sense, and that's what most of the other states have done. And for all of those reasons, I would respectfully request that you not allow this offense to be used, or the February 9th offense, or the September 19th, 2005 offense, for purposes of enhancing the new offense to a felony level offense. Thank you, Your Honors.
And you will have 5 minutes on rebuttal if you wish to use that time.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, I'm Kelsey Kelly and I represent the state of Minnesota in this matter. Your Honors, I think this case is fairly straightforward. Sections 169A.24 and 169A.09 are not ambiguous, and this court has already ruled that in a published opinion, State versus Miller. This exact same issue was litigated in State versus Miller, and actually the legislature intentionally gave prosecutors what Mr. Durkin calls two bites at the apple. The statute is very clear. It's either the conviction or the loss of license. So that was intentional, and that's within the legislature's power to do that.
Miller was decided in 2005, correct?
2004.
It was 2004.
Four,
yeah.
Okay. But the legislature has amended the statute many times since then.
Yes, but not this specific part of the statute that we're litigating today.
I guess my My question is, if the legislature thought that the intent was different than it was discerned in Miller, there was plenty of time to have resolved that.
There was a lot of time to resolve that. I think the legislature wants it to be written this way because sometimes there are ways for the AG's office to get an administrative license revocation, but a prosecutor can't get a conviction. I think that's actually why the legislature wrote it this way. So a prosecutor can still rely on that administrative hearing if the county attorney was unable to get a conviction out of it.
But of course you could have, in fairness, you could have still measured from the date of the conduct by whether there was a subsequent revocation or conviction. There would have been another way to take into account both of the processes, but still count from the same date.
Yes, I think the legislature could have written it that way, and they just didn't. And I think that's what we're looking at here today. I think Mr. Durkin's arguments are better suited for a legislator to see if someone wants to carry a bill to amend the statute. But the statute is clear. I can understand why someone who is not a lawyer may not intuitively understand it, but if you actually read through this, it makes perfect sense. It's
well,
not confusing.
Counsel, excuse me for empty, but does it make sense? I mean, the date of offense is as clear as it could possibly be as a measuring tool. They chose not to do that. I understand that. My concern isn't the allegations of overbreadth and vagueness, but prosecutors do have a lot of room to move that date around a conviction, and two people similarly situated might be treated very differently under the statute, and that gives me some due process concerns that I'd love to have you address.
Thank you, Your Honor. So first of all, Mr. McGinnis here is not able to point to something where he was specifically treated unfairly, and that's what's required. But as to your other question as to hypothetically other people, I can tell you that the rules of criminal procedure allow a defendant to ask for a speedy Rule 8, a speedy omnibus, and if you don't waive time, you can get a speedy contested omnibus order and ask for a speedy trial. Most defendants don't do that. That is their choice, but that's their check on the state to ensure that the criminal process goes quickly. Also, I can tell you that prosecutors, when they're prosecuting what's a misdemeanor, so we're talking about three convictions back, prosecutors aren't thinking in 10 years, I wonder if this person is going to be a felon. They're hoping that they never see them again because we don't want people out hurting people and driving drunk. I can just tell you that from my experience. No one thinks, oh, in three more convictions, I can do this. We just don't even have the resources to be considering it in that manner. But, and I don't know how Hennepin County does it, but in Anoka County, the administrative process always happens well before the conviction is entered. And I can just tell you from my experience that defendants are typically out of custody on DWIs because we have what's called an ISAP program. So they're being heavily monitored. And when people are out of custody, they don't make speedy demands as often. It's very rare, especially on a DWI. So if the defendant doesn't want a speedy trial, then they don't have to ask for one. But there is a check on the state so that the prosecutor isn't messing around. I think I've already gone through this, but I don't think we even get to the legislative intent or the rule of lenity because the statute is unambiguous, although it's true that the legislature could change the statute. The way it's written is constitutional, and it's clear, and it intentionally gives prosecutors two different dates to choose from. I rely on State versus Miller, which is published authority in this case. I guess because this is an error-correcting court, I think Mr. Durkin, I guess, would have to go to the Supreme Court or to the legislature to get his remedy. Thank you.
Any questions? All right, thank you. Mr. Durkin, you have 5 minutes if you wish to use that time.
I will, or just a minute. I won't use all five.
No, you can use them. They're yours.
Well, I feel guilty. I feel like if, since I was late, I should forfeit some of my time.
I told you were already forgiven for that.
I know.
See if you would have got up at 3 o'clock in the morning like I did in Duluth, Minnesota, and drive down here.
Now I feel really guilty. Now I feel almost not worthy. Your Honors, the way that it should be written, as Your Honor asked, is probably conviction to conviction, offense date to offense date. The reason why the driver's license revocation was thrown in is in common practice, and in common practice, a first-time DWI when we were a 1-0 statute, if you blew a 1-3, a 1-4, there was a good chance you were going to get a careless. When we became an 08 statute, or an 08 state, 1-1, 1-2 was pushing it, but you could generally get a careless drive.
Boy, the good old days, you know.
Well, right. That's right. That's right. And if you got the careless driving, you never had a DWI conviction, so you get a second time DWI, 8, 10, whatever, however many years later, and you have no enhancement, and it would drive prosecutors and law enforcement crazy. And maybe it should. So what happened is we started, and oftentimes a prosecutor will say, all right, I'll give you the careless, but you got to waive the IC because I need the enhancement. You know, and that's why the legislator used, I think, or let me take that back. Legislators, though, aren't lawyers, so they probably, all of them, don't understand the intricacies of practicing DWI law and how a plea or a particular case might resolve or end up. So they probably didn't understand that, and they should have. And by virtue of their misunderstanding or whatever reason, they drafted an unconstitutional statute. You have the careless driving now. You have no potential for any type of look back to anything because obviously careless driving is not a DWI. So that's why the driver's license revocation is in there.
Well, it seems like that if that was the legislature's only intent, it seems like they could have rather easily made that clear by saying something along the lines of, regardless of whether you're measuring from a prior impaired driving-related loss of license or from a prior impaired driving conviction, the date for measurement shall be the date of the offense. They could have easily said that if that's what they meant.
Well, they could have. They could have.
One sentence would take care of it.
It could have, or that's one potential or possible resolution to fixing it, but that's not how it's written.
Right, but that would be an indicate to me the simplicity with which in a matter of seconds I can come up with a way to resolve that problem, if that's what I really mean, suggests that that isn't what they really meant.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily true, and we don't know that, and we don't know that what they meant at all. We don't know what they meant. We don't have the legislative history. I wasn't able to find it.
Well, the best way to discern what they meant, though, is, in fairness, is to read what they wrote. And they wrote that the 10 years goes from this date or this date.
Respectfully, maybe what the legislature intended was for a 10-year look-back period. Period. Not a 12-year, not a 16, and the way that they wrote the statute creates an unconstitutional, overbroad, vague result. And that is exactly why we are here today, because there are due process issues, and two people who are similarly situated are treated very differently, as is my client. And for those reasons, Your Honor, we would respectfully request that that prior not be used for purposes of an enhancement. And you know what? This is a correcting court, and we're asking you to correct an unconstitutional statute that violates due process and is overbroad and vague. And thank you very much, Your Honors, and have a nice day.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
No, thanks.
All right, the matter is submitted. We will issue our decision within 90 days. We thank both of counsel for your briefing and argument.